Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Fireteam Chat live from Gamescom 2019. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Deej. Hi, Deej.
Hi.
How's it going? And Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And they are from Bungie.
That's right.
I'm very jet-lagged. Welcome, everybody, to the jet-lagged
edition. The two of you guys are jet-lagged. I'm feeling good.
Yeah,
I'm feeling great. I'm amped.
He's going to have to feel good for the both of us.
I could interview you guys. We could mix it up.
Sure.
I would love to. I have lots of questions. I'm curious about Dustin's day.
I have questions. My day was great.
Yeah,
my day was
good.
Great. Messed around with Stadia. You guys were on the Stadia stage.
So
question, we were talking about this off camera, so why don't you just explain it to yours? Why can't I, on PC, play with my friends on Stadia when it launches?
Yeah, Stadia is its own platform, and so Stadia is going to be able to play with Stadia. It's just the thing that's really exciting for me about Stadia is I think about this today, literally, I'm in interviews, I have great Wi-Fi, I could be playing Destiny, I'm not even kidding, between interviews. We have cross-save going right now. I could be playing on my Guardian, making progress on some things that I'm doing.
We're recording this as cross-play is going live.
Look at your text, see if it's up.
Cross-save.
Let's see.
Is it up?
Yeah, Deej, everything's going flawlessly.
Cross-save.
Right?
I'm just getting some texts.
What do they say?
From people, and they're like, we're working on it, we're getting
cross-save.
It ready to go.
Cross-save. Did I say cross-play again?
No, you said cross-save.
The jet lag edition of Fireteam Chat. So,
cross-save, it's really fun. We've been testing it, and now everyone's going to have it by the time they see this.
Got it.
It feels like the way Destiny should be, where you load up the game, and then you're playing with your Guardian that you've chosen to play on whatever platform you want.
Cool. And Stadia is Linux, so that's basically the answer.
Stadia is its own platform. Yeah, it's like Stadia is its own platform. Yeah.
It's like Linux or a Mac user playing with a PC user. It's trickier.
Its own environment.
Yeah.
So it's like we're transferring it to Steam over on the first, and people are going to be able to play on PC there. And then this is Stadia is its own thing.
We got a great question from a fan of the show, and he basically asked, with moving to Steam, how are you going to protect us from Hammer? How are you going to ban Hammer the hackers? Basically, you guys are infamous for bringing down the hammer when people are messing with your game, bringing a bad player experience. How are you going to continue to protect us on the Steam platform?
Well, we're also infamous for not talking too much about it. Mm-hmm. I love the guys that we work with on security.
Yeah.
There's times when they will take action, they'll do things to protect the ecosystem of the game.
Yeah.
And they're like, don't say too much about our methodology. Like, we don't want people to understand how we do our work. We don't want people to, like, detect weaknesses in our methodology or exploit those things, but we're committed to making sure that every place where you can play Destiny is safe and well-governed and that people aren't cheating, people aren't harming each other. So we're going to continue to do that stuff. I can't give you specific, like, hardcore details about how it will work, but I can tell you that we are committed to employing the same amount of love and attention to Steam as we have every other place where you can play Destiny.
You know, if we rewind time, look at PUBG, it kind of got overrun by, people that were abusing systems in the game to, like, speed up their characters and just do things that weren't possible, like aimbotting and things like that. If that were to happen in Destiny, like, what would you guys do behind the scenes? Not like the tools, but, like, how big of a priority would that become for you?
I think that decision would have to come from them.
Yeah.
What we would do on the community front is we would let people know, like, we're seeing reports of this happening, what are you seeing, and then we would follow their lead, right?
Yeah.
It's like, do you want us to message this? Sometimes we'll go out and be like, hey, we banned a bunch of people this weekend for doing a thing, so don't do that thing.
Yeah.
You know, we do believe in sometimes a ban is permanent and eternal, like, never do that again, right? Sometimes a ban is like, we're going to let you know why we're banning you. Going to give you some time to think about it. We're going to welcome you back later after you've had some time to change your ways, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
There are people at Bungie who do believe in giving people an opportunity to learn and mend. I tend to be a bit of a hardliner, you know, as a community guy, I want peace and quiet and mutual respect and safety. So sometimes, you know, I'll be like, ban them forever. And they'll be like, we're going to give them 2 weeks. And I'm like, and then we'll ban them forever when they do it again after 2 weeks. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But we're committed to the quality of any place where you play Destiny.
Great.
So that's the little bow that I will tie onto that.
Excellent. I am stoked for Shadowkeep. You guys revealed Season of the Undying here during Gamescom, right?
Yeah.
Using a very familiar looking cinematic that I may have seen before. Never. I never saw it before.
Someone's unsanctioned portfolio update does not equal our communications plan. So.
But it's cool. Like you're re-exploring the Vex. You have some screenshots that you put on your press kit website where the Vex are like covered in moss and trees and such. Can you explain a little bit about why that is happening?
I think it's one of those things where we don't want to ruin the mystery of it. But I will say that Season of the Undying, which is Vex themed, is a natural progression of the story that happens in Shadowkeep. And so some things happen in Shadowkeep, and then that makes the Vex upset, and then they do a thing. And so without spoiling too much, that spoiled nothing.
That's the official lore.
Is that what, I'm not a writer.
You can almost hear the Bife video, okay?
Yeah. Then a thing happens.
Yes, and then they upset the Vex, and then the Vex do a thing.
It's good that you can tell their jet lag because Deej's impressions have already started.
Yeah.
Soon, by the end of this, hopefully he'll be doing both of us, and that would be nice.
I'm really excited for Shadowkeep. We're going back to the moon. It's quite a substantial amount larger than the moon was prior. However, this also introduces an interesting challenge for you guys. The install size for Destiny is at 165 gigabytes. So at what point does that download size become prohibitive with your development process? And how are you going to address that challenge internally?
Well, we're going to ask Luke to come out and write another long blog article.
We love that.
We
you
love
guys
that
like
too.
That? It was like, we'll go 10,000
words. There's,
Is it that many?
These are some of the things that they're thinking about on the franchise level, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll invite, Luke or any other development leaders on the franchise team to come out and talk about those sorts of things. I'm signing you up for more writing, Luke. But it was outrageously effective, and I know you felt it. So, we do need to think about how big will the install of Destiny be, and how will we manage that going forward, and how do we deal with those challenges? But right now, we can hack it. Right now, we're looking at Destiny 2, Year 3. And while there was sort of the philosophical question as like Gambit or Gambit Prime, which favorite child are we going to carry forward into the future?
Which child are you going to murder, actually? If you had to pick, Deej, if it was your decision, which one would carry forward, Prime or Standard?
And you don't have real children, so this is fine.
Yeah, I don't really have real children, and no one will ever ask me to make the decision. So I like complicated forms of teamwork, so I would say Gambit Prime. My word is not rule or law, and no one's going to listen to my recommendation on this, so please
don't. Your voice in the crowd.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about me opposing what you would prefer. It's just me talking.
Yeah.
It's the jet lag edition of Fireteam Chat.
Yeah.
Wait.
Scott, you?
Well, so I would neutralize you by having the opposite vote, and we would just be like Gambit Classic, and especially with the
Classic.
You guys were calling it normal Gambit or something, and I was like, it needs something. I don't think it's Gambit Classic, but with the sudden death round, I find that to be pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
And Gambit Prime's super cool too, though. So it's like, it really is about, we want a happy, healthy development team. That's something that's like the most important thing at Destiny and Bungie is the people, like, who are all our friends. And so we want to figure out where we want to invest the most time in. And so I think that's kind of what Luke was gesturing at.
Yeah. This is a philosophical, because we don't have to decide that.
That's right.
For Destiny 2, Year 3.
Nothing's happening right now.
Everything that's been into Destiny up to this point is still in the game.
Yeah.
Right? So we're adding a new story. We're bringing back a reinvented, reimagined destination. We're adding new systems, all sorts of new customization. We're adding new features in the game that enable you to unlock cool perks with finishing moves, the ways it'll change the way you fight. We're adding a whole bunch of cool stuff, and we don't have to start to think about what we would have to take away in order to add.
Well, now that you guys have had a bit of time with the armor stream that Deej did,
yes.
what are you thinking? How are you feeling about Armor 2.0?
I mean, I saw that some people on the internet were kind of mad, but I watched the stream and I'm just kind
of
like,
well, what did you think of the armor? Sense. The armor part, yeah. Like, what?
It makes sense. Like, you get 10 power things, right? I'm a little concerned about resources. You still have the enhancement core challenge of like, what are my revenue streams for enhancement cores versus the prismatic facets? Is that what we're using this
There's
time?
A bunch of new economies.
And then stuff, there's there's a third new economy resource also, or a returning economy resource.
Ascended
and I'm like,
shards,
how do I get those?
Yep.
How am I how
and I don't think, have you guys said
that
yet, dude? I don't remember if that, if
we've
talked
a little bit, even on the stream, we said, you know, with the
paths.
Enhancement cores, it's like, okay, I need enhancement cores. I can go buy them from the spider, or I can start dismantling things that I might like.
Yeah.
You know, I've done that. Like, I want to upgrade my helmet. You know, I love my stag. I love my coat rack, as a man in my clan loves to call it. And I want to infuse on this right now, so I'm going to start dismantling weapons and hope one drops. And it's like, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, we don't want people to be doing that. So there is an opportunity for us to say, if you need these things, we're going to give you a more deterministic path to go get those things. So
keep in mind with the mods, too, like, one of the things I'm most excited about is right now I have a little bit of loss aversion when I want to slot a mod on something. I'm like, do I really want to do that?
Yeah.
Once you unlock a mod now, you've unlocked it forever on
that's
all your
great,
stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's going to change a lot of the dynamics. It's going to allow you to play and, like, figure out how to like, make it exactly what you want for whatever situation. I've already been thinking for myself, like, as we've been talking about this a lot this week, of, like, hey, maybe I want, you know, what's my gambit set going to look and play like, and what's this other one going to be like? They all can kind of be different, and that's going to be really, really fun. I thought it was really powerful what you guys did, DJ, on the stream of really showing how you can make it look exactly how you want it to look to do. I thought that I'm pretty excited.
Well, and we also, when we were on the Xbox stage earlier in the week, we showed that there are new options for choosing your difficulty for, say, a Nightfall.
Yeah.
And when you do that, when you sort of choose to embrace the more difficult option for the Nightfall, that's going to be a great way to unlock some of these different things, to unlock these new economies and to unlock the things.
There's going to be clear streams and clear paths to acquire them.
Yeah. A lot of people were asking, are we ever going to be able to do strikes solo? Because a lot of people are probably thinking about their grinds for, like, Wendigo, right? And they're like, I just want to roll in there solo and then grind that out. Is that an option you've considered for your player base?
I mean, we talk about, when you say considered, we talk about a lot of things. That's nothing that's coming anytime soon.
It's so
the strike,
it's
not strike
coming
solo.
Anytime soon. Solo strike play.
I don't believe so. No.
Okay.
Maybe I could be wrong, but I
haven't heard anything.
Right?
About
I have not
it.
Heard
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. People were asking, and then what about strike specific loot? That's something I actually kind of enjoyed.
Yeah,
it was a bit grindy. You sort of tweaked the drop rates recently.
Yeah.
Is that something you're going to continue to evolve, or?
I mean, I don't think we have anything big to announce on that front right now.
All right. Yeah. How many strikes are coming with Shadowkeep?
Two.
Two.
Mm-hmm. That we could say.
There's one on the moon and one on Io.
Got it. And is there, there's no more platform exclusive stuff.
There are
not.
We are not doing that anymore.
Two? Yeah. Across the board.
Yeah, and they're very fun. They're super fun. Those and, like, the lost sectors on the moon, or, like, the moon as a destination in this strike. That's good stuff. Yeah, they're really fun.
Super fun. Trust us.
Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah.
Trust us?
Sorry.
You don't like it when it's like, stop
fun.
Says it's fun.
They're very tasty.
They're really fun.
All I'm saying, I played them and I enjoyed them.
Yeah. You guys covered so much stuff there in that last question. Also, you talked about your executions. Yeah, the new executions.
Oh, the finishers. Yeah.
Executions, fatalities, whatever we're going to call them colloquially.
Finishers.
In the community.
Yes.
But are those going to have a resource cost? Like, are they going to use part of your super meter? Or,
so it can.
Or
do they, you can slot mods into them. So if you want, you can just not. You don't have to engage in that. And you can just do it and have fun and punch away. Or you can decide, hey, like, for example, you might say, well, I want to restore health to myself or my teammates, and you could slot that mod, and then that's going to make you're going to make a different choice now, maybe. Instead of, like, you're almost dead and you're going to hide around behind that rock, you might go and charge at that enemy that has a little indicator that you can do the finishing move on them, and that's going to have a trade-off. So you're going to see a bunch of those
coming. Oh, nice.
And so that's super fun. All the time duration of all those things is all the same, and it's all PvE. It's not in PvP.
Yeah.
But you can opt into some gameplay effects on those things.
That's really cool. So, like, will it always use your super meter, or will it sometimes eat your grenade?
Well, so that's a choice. Like, if you slot a mod that has a trade-off, it'll for instance, you could imagine that it might say something like, cost this much super energy, but that it's a trade-off that you can then opt into. But you don't have to slot that mod. And if you don't, you can just do it for as much as you want, which I was, trust us, it's fun. I was doing it without slotting anything,
I bet.
I was just punching away, and it was very fun. Yeah.
Do they all have the same duration?
They do.
They do? Yeah. Okay. And then what if I'm in the middle of one? Am I locked into it, or can I snap out of that animation?
You're in third person until it's done, and that's it.
Okay. So it's like Apex. You're kind of locked in. You can't snap out.
I believe that's right. I don't know if it's exactly like Apex.
I don't know if that's
Apex,
what Apex
but,
is. Once you trigger it, you've committed.
And it's pretty quick, but it's a cool moment where you get out into third person and you do this move, and then you're back in the game.
Yeah. And they're in PvP, too.
They are not.
Negative.
PvE
you can't utilize
that's
them
correct.
At
Minions
all.
Of the Darkness only.
okay. Just making sure.
Is that trademarked? That's very good.
I just made that up.
Did you? You're very tired.
Yeah, I might have tweeted that the other day.
Did you really? Yeah. Oh, so you're reusing your tweets on Fireteam Chat? That's not okay.
No platform exclusive.
that's a good one. I got a question from this guy, Too Scott Too Furious.
That's
Ask
me.
Them about their goals for Destiny and how they're looking to achieve
so
them.
So for everyone... So when Destin asked the question, what do you want to hear? That's a good question. What do you want to ask? Like, the thing we love talking about is like, and the umbrella of all of our discussions is like, what are our goals as a team for Destiny? And so our goal is that single evolving world. And so the ways we're trying to achieve that, if I go from my thesis statement, thank you for biting on this, by the way. This is the thing we love to talk about.
Well, see, here's my strategy.
Yeah.
I ask that question, and I find the question that Brian wanted me to ask.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and then that's
answer
the, yeah.
So you get a freebie, and I get a little.
I love it. So I'm going to keep going. So we have cross-save that's like literally we're probably being texted about it going live. So that's one way we're going to have one single evolving space.
Yeah. We're good.
We have we're good.
We're good.
We have New Light coming, and so one of the things that's interesting about New Light, and for people that don't know, New Light is when you download Destiny 2, you can kind of jump in and play. Without that barrier of, you know, multiple hours of campaigns that I'm sure if you have friends, you're like, yeah, play Destiny. I'll see you in 30 hours because I want you to play.
Right.
Like, that's not a good story, right? The better story is, hey, why don't you play that tutorial mission that's really, really awesome, and I'll see you in a few minutes in the tower, and I'm going to show you what Gambit's all about or whatever.
Yeah.
And so as much as that's for, like, new players and new people to come in, for me, it's actually a huge benefit because I have people that have been a little hesitant to jump in, and so that's a cool moment.
Real quick on that point, so like if I'm level 32 and I'm power level 300, whatever you were back then, do I automatically jump to 5750?
You will start at 750. So you'll be up to be able to just play with you.
Yeah. Okay. So you'll still have I'll still be level 32. I don't remember the separation.
No, there'll be a new thing above your head and all this other stuff. It'll make sense and be so that they can play with you. So
all right.
That's gonna be neat. And then we have Shadowkeep's experience itself. Is one that you actually don't need to have played the other campaigns to play. You can just like, if you see that and you're like, that looks cool, I want to go to that new moon, I can go do that. So that's pretty cool too. And Stadia, you can play anywhere. So that's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and you can use your cross save and just.
You can. Yeah, you can just bring over. There's no, you don't have to. I mean, that's the thing. Right now, you're like, I'm sure you've had this where you're like, PC came out after D2 did, and you're like, I have to make this choice. That's not a thing as of right now, like anymore. Have to worry about.
In Destiny 1 days, I would tether my PS4 so I could play when I was in Japan and just like grind out the thing.
Yeah.
So having played Stadia and Doom Eternal on it today, I could actually be like, oh, this is a viable platform.
I do think
and
sneakily,
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was really cynical and like doubting it until I got my hands on it here at
Gamescom. Since we've had the luxury of kind of seeing it evolve and talking to Google, who's like really well equipped to be successful at getting streaming set up. And so we've known that we're like, well, I get to go like at Gamescom, I could be playing, like I really want to be playing right now. I love talking to you. I'd rather be playing Destiny right now.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to be doing that with my
guardian. This is Gamescom at 40. It's you in your hotel room playing.
I was playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which I also love.
Yeah.
But I would have been playing Destiny if I had it there, working through things before Shadowkeep.
Yeah.
So it's that possibility space is really cool. But seeing the way that our seasons are going to evolve and the way that you're going to be able to just jump right into Shadowkeep, like all those things are always just about that studio goal of having that single place where you can come and play.
You also revealed unlimited power.
Yeah,
is a way to phrase it. So like
uncapped.
The cap.
Yeah.
Is 960.
That's right. The power.
That's huge. And then what happens after you hit that?
So we have this thing, the seasonal artifact. Have you seen the seasonal artifact?
I haven't yet.
Okay. So there's an artifact that every season you're going to get, and it's going to have mods unique to that season, and you're going to be able to level it through all your characters account wide, and that's going to allow you to kind of, you're going to be able to just kind of churn on that to engage, get your power kind of over leveled and to take on tougher challenges.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And then that's going to, at the next season, we'll get a new artifact and you'll start a new journey with that artifact.
Okay. So Like, let's say I go from 960 to 1500.
Well, it's not like that. It's crazy, like it, you'll have to. I think we're talking more about this later, but you'll see. There's a lot of neat things with the artifact that are going to be seasonal, and it's going to allow us to try new mods and new ways to play.
So you're not going to be going into the next raid super overpowered.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Speaking of raids, are you guys ever going to bring back like hard difficulty?
I don't think we have any. We're not doing anything different with the raid difficulty this time.
Are you pretty happy with the?
Well, I think we're happy with contest, and we're happy with the. And we're doing that again. I think we said that. If we didn't, I just did.
Yeah.
And we're excited for the Black Garden raid itself. Yeah. But that's what's coming up next, very soon.
The thing you're asking about is really going to be prevalent in the Nightfall this time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We are doing some things.
Going in and choosing your difficulty for the Nightfall, like we said, is one of the ways to unlock the new economies that we have for Armor 2.0 and upgrading your character and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like contests, and thank you for really thinking about how the last one went, launching on the same day. It was really rough on me and a lot of the players out there that were competing. And I think this is going to make a more level playing field.
Well, and we've
pretty excited about Saturday.
Our first ever Saturday raid. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Cosmo, what would you say if we launched a raid on Saturday? He's like, yes, yes.
Yeah,
I will come
good.
In on the weekend. I will give you PTO if you do this. Like, he was really excited about it.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah, and I really liked it when we explained that, you know, the explanation that if you beat the raid, that should be the pinnacle activity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've done the hardest thing to do in Destiny. I beat the raid. It's like, okay, fine. Now go do it on a harder mode. It's like, I thought I was awesome. You know, like,
Look how sleepy he is. Did you just swear?
Did I? No.
I think you did.
What'd I say?
You said a word. I have a microphone. Me whispering doesn't help.
Can you censor that out later?
Can
you just bleep that out later?
I will make it louder.
Okay. No. I'll just like cover my lips with my phone.
We're very comfortable talking to you.
I'll bleep it.
Thank you. Please. Do it with like a honking horn or a barking dog or something.
I'll use
like that.
The sparrow horn.
I knew you were doing that. Yeah. That's what you walked into it. I thought the same thing.
Foghorn one. But yeah, I think we don't want to negate someone's accomplishment by saying there's a harder way to do it, or to say, well, you didn't really do it the hard way.
Yeah, there's another hard way, by the way. Where was Brian's question here? One second.
What's Brian's question? Where's Brian?
Elaborate on what things could be leaving after a season ends. Folks are concerned that the things they paid for might leave after the season ends. Mm-hmm. How will the concern be addressed?
We're going to address that concern, like I said before, when we get back next week.
Yeah,
we were tackling a lot of big topics here at Gamescom. We're sort of sifting through those conversations, and we're going to talk about season strategies next week. If I can push the pause button on that question.
It's funny. We've been revealing so many things that we're like, hey, let's let everything have its own breath and make sure that we can talk through it. And so, I think that is that next up. Is that the next thing?
I believe it is next up. And then we'll talk a little bit more about PvP, and then we'll go to PAX, and then and then we'll have one more month to see, okay, what else do people want to know before it's time to fight?
Yeah.
We want to set some expectations. We want to give people an idea of what's happening in Destiny without fleecing the player experience of everything that's exciting to discover for yourself. So we're doing that dance.
Yeah, because we hear you guys on the show, too, where you're like, I want to know these things, and you're like, no, don't, that's too much, I want it.
So it's like,
it is a delicate balance.
That's why, like, when you guys come on, I don't really like asking about Shadow
narrative
stuff.
You want to see it,
because
I
want to experience
that's the right way to go.
And, like, it's fine to be teased. So
yeah.
I always try and be, I'm like, I don't want the full answer, but I'm curious, like, why do they have trees on their head?
Absolutely.
So, a few more really quick. Are you revealing how many exotics are going to be coming with Shadowkeep?
I don't think we are yet, are we?
I don't even know the answer.
I know the answer, but I don't think we are.
I bet Dylan knows the answer to that question.
Yes, I bet Dylan does, too.
But
so I guess not.
No, I don't know. Okay. Maybe that's something we could talk about in September, but I couldn't even...
If you
put a gun to my head right now, I'd be
tired. Yeah, you're tired, dude.
I definitely get it. With the three-character thing, running three characters across your account, have you figured out a way to make it so that I can just play one character, or do I still get benefits from running?
Well, your artifact, the seasonal artifact, is the character. It's account scoped, so you're going to be making progress on that artifact
Bless you.
For all your characters. Someone's sneezing.
yeah.
But yeah, so that's one way. So like your seasonal progression is going to be account based. So that's one thing that we're going
to
do.
Okay. Do you think that's going to curtail the need to run three characters basically? Because like when you're getting raid ready, right? That's one of the strategies. You run three, you stack your bounties, all that. Is that, do you still foresee that happening?
I think
with
I'm
this
curious
month?
To see. I don't know exactly how people are going to optimize for this one. It will be different. So we'll see.
Yeah, you're digging deep into that stuff. I have a personal rule where, like,
what is it?
I don't make predictions about character progression or power progression.
I said, I don't know. I said, we'll find out.
Yeah, I know. But I, like, every time I think I know how it's going to go, the community comes out and they surprise us with some new way. And, you know,
if there's one thing that's for sure, it's that there's people that are going to really think about what they want to do, and then some, you know, someone will start leading the way of how it goes.
Yeah.
Real quick, let me take one more of the fan questions that we had here, and then I know you guys got to get out of here. So, geez, I have one lined up. Oh, the PvP question. So we know that Twilight Gap is on the way. We know Widow's Court is on the way. Do you plan to add more PvP maps throughout Season of the Undying?
Yeah, I don't know about during the season, but there's more coming, and I think that that's going to be part of the conversation that they lead into PAX with the Crucible.
Okay, and so PAX is going to be Crucible focused.
Well, I think that it's going to be around that time. I believe you've said this.
I've said that we'll talk about Crucible before PAX.
There you go.
And then we will load into Crucible with some form of playable activity.
There you go.
I have to say, I do really, really appreciate the level of transparency that you have had, especially over the last few weeks. I also appreciate the italicization
of the nine.
Yes, of the nine. Are you guys? Let's say, you know, you do the 3v3 elimination community thing, and the community loves it, and you're just like, it's time to bring back Osiris.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like, the thing that's true is that elimination's coming back, and those maps are coming back, and, you know, right now, with all the stuff we have on our plate, it's like, well, let's see how that goes, and then we'll have the next conversation about where that takes us.
Well, and, you know, when Luke stops everything he's doing and writes content for Bungie.net, that's great for us.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've told him, like, we can't do this. Like, you know, like the community team, the player support team, we can report the news. You know, we can call the weather. We can be like, you know, like chance of thunderstorms and unplanned maintenance. But in terms of talking about why we do the things that we do, in terms of talking about how we make these decisions and what our criteria is and all that stuff, that really needs to come from people like Luke, you know, people like, you know, game directors who are, you know, responsible for sort of plotting the course and setting the agenda. And, you know, we'll continue to do that whenever we can. You know, sometimes we'll quote those people in This Week at Bungie when we can. We need to keep them focused on making the game. But every once in a while, it's like, you know, open your mind, share something with the community, give them a sense of a relationship with the people who are building and sculpting this world that they inhabit.
But Destin, you're saying you thought you liked that. You thought that was effective. I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth, but you like that. Is that right?
I feel like you guys have a new level of transparency. And actually, my follow-up question was going to be, now that you're kind of changing your delivery of messaging and how you're choosing to communicate with your community since the Activision separation, how are you feeling about it? Like, it's
about which part?
You're independent, you're communicating more directly with your audience, you've changed so much. How does it feel internally? Like, how is the staff feeling?
You know, I would say that the way we're communicating with the players of Destiny right now is really a product of having a good sense of what we want to do with the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, in order to be transparent, you kind of have to know what you want to say, right?
Yeah.
This isn't to say that, like, we've been clueless and just fumbling around in the dark for years, but I think right now we feel like we have a really good plan for the way forward.
Yeah.
And when you feel like that, you can start to say, okay, I want to share with you what I think we're going to do around here. I don't think we were ever asked, like, don't be transparent or don't tell
players. No, I mean, we did
the
roadmap last year. I mean, like, if you look, we've been asked this question a bunch, and it's a good question, but I think if you really look back at the history of since Destiny's launch, we've done all sorts of things that, you know, like, roadmaps was like a year and a half ago or something. And so, you know, it's all been an evolution. Just like the game evolves, the way we're talking is evolving as well.
Yeah. It's just, I guess it's just interesting to hear Luke say, like, yeah, you know, we did this content expansion, and here's what the lessons we learned such. I suppose the last question I have for you guys, so I can get you to dinner, is about retiring content. You kind of brought up this topic. How are you going to make that decision, and like how is that process going to work for us, the players?
Yeah, I think like Deej said, I think we'll dive into that later, but it's gonna the thing that we've learned the most is that we want to tell a cool story and make sure that everything that we're doing is like awesome and contextually makes sense. And so whenever we do something like that, we're gonna make it good. We're gonna make it really cool, and we're gonna make it a good experience. And so yeah, that's the thing I'll say right now.
Okay. Well, I know you guys got to get eating soon, eating food, and it's a jet lag edition of Fireteam Chat.
I feel great.
Yeah?
I don't know. You guys are tired. I came a few days early. I'm good.
I'm loopy for sure. Do you want to do the outro point with me to camera one there?
Yeah. Right. You got to start us, though.
All right. Well, I'll say, until next time. Oh, no. I screwed it up. I screwed it up. All right.
It's your show, man.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us here at Gamescom 2019.
Yes.
Until next time, for you guys and everybody else,
Guardians out. Hey, there he is.
So where's CJ? Yeah, we saw this.
I saw the show.
We saw the send-off show. We thought that was a gag.
I thought he was doing something else at the company or something, and that it was just like
I'll text Irk. They like didn't hire.
We have been asking because we saw that and we were like, oh, that's interesting.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the script?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.